Let's turn tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. We are going to look at verses 4 through 6, but let's read verses 1 through 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We looked last time at that definition that the writer gives us of faith in verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And with this definition, we considered the fact that the covenant that God made with the nation of Israel at Sinai was full of things which were seen, things which were seen. It had a tabernacle, priest, and then the many sacrifices and offerings. All of those things could be seen. The new covenant that we read about in this letter of Hebrews, both in chapters 8 and chapter 10, the new covenant we read is a covenant of invisible things, things that we must see by faith. We must see by faith. Now, we enjoy and enter into this covenant by faith. We looked at that verse in Isaiah where the Lord said he would make a covenant with us. He made a covenant with us, that is his people, his chosen people, in Christ before the world began. And yet when we are called by his Spirit and have faith, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we enter into that covenant with him. And that covenant, if you will, keep your places here, but turn back to the letter of Galatians. That covenant was a covenant of promise as it was announced to Abraham. In Galatians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 16, we read, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." Promises, covenant of promise. "He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law," now that law, of course, is the law that was given along with the covenant at Mount Sinai, the law of Moses, as we refer to it, because it was given through Moses. The law came by Moses, or through Moses, but grace and truth came by, or through, Jesus Christ. This is what we read in John 1. But notice, the law was added. "This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after," in other words, 430 years later, after this covenant of promise was made and revealed to Abraham, then the law was given. And the apostle says that that covenant, that law, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. "For if the inheritance be of the law, It is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And we see the continuance of the covenant of promise is the new covenant that is made with us in Christ and we make with him by faith. In the verses that we will look at tonight, we're going to look at two of the elders. Remember there in verse 2, if you turn back to Hebrews 11, the writer tells us, "For by it," that is by faith, "the elders obtained a good report." And by elders, that refers to those Old Testament saints. And he's going to mention many of them in this 11th chapter. Many of those Old Testament saints, the elders, which by faith obtained a good report. And we're going to look at two tonight, that is Abel and Enoch. Now, in this chapter, the writer gives these examples chronologically. I mean, we're going to see tonight Abel, then follows Enoch, then comes Noah, then comes Abraham, then comes Isaac. And so he gives these examples of faith as they came chronologically. But all of them, I believe, show us a different characteristic about faith so that we learn more about this faith that he is speaking about. From Abel and Enoch tonight, we look at two things. That is righteousness. Righteousness. And number two, pleasing God. Pleasing God. First, Abel and the truth about justification by faith. Notice verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. He was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. A man is counted righteous, justified, in the eyes of God, not by works. Much of the letter of Romans and the letter of Galatians, the Apostle Paul goes to great lengths to prove and to show how that no one is justified by the works of the law. That justification, being declared righteous, is by faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Only through him. What does righteous mean? We read about righteousness, and I speak about righteousness as I preach the gospel quite often. But what does righteousness mean? How would you define righteous if you were asked to define the term righteous? This is a definition that I would give. It means to be right. Right by a certain standard. You young people, as you take a test in school, let's say there's 10 questions on the test, and you answer each of those 10 questions, and your teacher grades the test, and you have 9 right, or 10 right, 8 right. Now, she has a standard. She has the answers, and so she grades by that standard. But when we speak about righteous in the sense of being righteous before God, what is the standard? What is the standard? The standard, is it the opinions of men? Is the standard the opinions of the religious world? Is the standard by which someone is declared righteous by the thoughts of whatever time period we live in? And does it change as the years go by, as the centuries move on? Is it by a certain rule of morality? Of course not. Of course not. The standard is God's absolute holiness. God's absolute holiness, which never changes. A man is righteous or not righteous according to God's standard, God's holiness. Now, how can a sinner who in ourselves we come short of that standard? We never come up to that standard in ourselves. We recognize that. We confess that. If the Lord saves us, we recognize that. We confess that. We have no righteousnesses of our own. We know the Scripture speaks of our righteousness as of filthy rags. How then can a man or woman be declared righteous, be right before God? We know it is by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His perfect, perfect, absolute obedience to God's standard, to God's law, to God's holiness, and then suffering at the hands of that law, suffering in the place of his people. And that righteousness is called the righteousness of God because Jesus Christ is God, God manifest in the flesh. And that righteousness is imputed or counted to everyone that believeth. Abel, as the Scripture here says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Abel's sacrifice, what kind of sacrifice was it? Two things about his sacrifice, which pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, his sacrifice was a blood sacrifice. A lamb was slain. And the second thing about his sacrifice was an innocent victim suffered in the place of the guilty. What a picture, right? What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn back with me. Let's read about this in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and verses 1 through 7. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, very mad, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, I want you to notice especially these words in verse 4 about Abel's offering of the fat thereof. Of the fat thereof. I see that as being especially important because later when God gave the law, you know, there were many sacrifices. There were many lambs which were slain. There were bullocks which were slain. There were goats which were slain. But the fat always was to the Lord. Now the fat, what would it do upon the altar? It would disintegrate, right? It would burn and it would rise up. And in Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 16, we read, all the fat is the Lord's. Every animal, the fat of that animal was always the Lord's. How did Abel know to offer such a sacrifice? How did he know? How did he know to offer such a sacrifice? Because his father Adam taught him. God taught Adam and Eve, and Adam taught his children. He taught his sons. Matthew Henry said, Adam instructed his sons in the mystery of sacrificing. The mystery of sacrificing. Now what we see here is that Cain did not have faith. He did not have faith, and he did what lost men, what most lost men always do who do not have faith. They bring to God the works of their hands, and they seek acceptance because they're trusting in their rightness. They're trusting in their rightness. Cain did exactly what all lost men for the most part do. They bring their good works, they bring their morality, they bring whatever they trust in. Some people trust in the fact that they're not religious. But every man is trusting in something. You can be sure of that. And he thinks whatever it is going to be accepted by God, just like Cain thought. Such offerings are never accepted. Cain's offering was never accepted. And the reason is because a person is never declared to be righteous by his doing. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it is not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, Abel did have faith. He didn't have faith in the blood of that lamb. He didn't have faith. He didn't think that the blood of that lamb would take away his sins. He knew, just as Hebrews chapter 10 begins, for it's not possible that the blood of animals should take away sins. But what he did know and what he did believe is that blood of that lamb that he sacrificed pictured the promised one, the one that John the Baptist pointed out that day. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The sacrifice that he offered pictured the coming one, the one who had been promised to Abel's parents, Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman. And he looked forward. He looked to the future, to that promised one by faith. John Owen explained the difference in the two offerings in this way: Cain's offering and Abel's offering. And I quote, Cain considered God only as a creator and preserver, whereon he offered the fruit of the earth. Faith, the faith of Abel, was fixed on God, not only as a creator, but as a redeemer also, who had appointed the way of redemption by sacrifice and atonement. That's a good explanation of the difference between the two offerings. Cain, he only considered God as a creator and preserver. And so he brought a thanks offering, maybe. But Abel, his faith was fixed on God, not only as a creator, but also as a redeemer who had appointed the way of redemption. And his appointed way was by sacrifice and atonement. Now the verse here in our text, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, tells us that by his offering, by Abel's offering, that he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying to his gifts, to his offering. What does that tell us? It tells us that God in some way testified to Abel's offering. He testified to the fact that he accepted Abel's offering. Now, we're not told how God testified. Most of the writers believe it was by fire. Like when Elijah confronted those false prophets on Mount Carmel. You remember his bullock on the altar. God testified that Elijah was God's prophet by fire coming down from heaven and consuming the sacrifice, the stones, and licking up the water. And when Solomon dedicated the temple, you can read this, I believe it's in 2 Chronicles, but when Solomon dedicated the temple, the scripture says, when Solomon had made an end of praying, you remember he was dedicating the temple and he was praying before the people, and the sacrifices, the offerings were there on the altar, evidently, because it says, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. So most of the writers believe this is the way by which God testified. He testified to the acceptance of Abel's sacrifice, and he didn't to Cain. And Cain got mad. He was wroth, wasn't he? No doubt he saw. However it was that God testified that he accepted Abel's offering, Cain knew immediately God didn't accept his offering. And he was wroth. He was mad. Now, a second way that God testifies to Abel's offering that he was accepted by God on the basis of faith in Christ and the promised one, the scriptures. This verse itself testifies that Abel was righteous. How does God testify today? The witness that God gives today to those who believe in Christ for righteousness is God the Holy Spirit. Look with me in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Justified by faith, everyone who is justified by faith, the Holy Spirit is given unto us. And as it says, his love, the love of God, is shed abroad in our hearts. In other words, we are convinced of God's great love, that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that through him we might be made right. And also in Romans 8 and verse 16, the scripture says, beginning with verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the first example that the writer brings before us is Abel, which speaks to us of the righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ received by faith, imputed unto all who believe. Now the second example is Enoch. And the truth about that is brought before us here is that Enoch, by faith, was pleasing to God. Notice again the verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Pleasing God by faith. And I want to include with this verse here a verse in Genesis that speaks to us about Enoch. And it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." The writer equates pleasing God and walking with God as synonymous terms. Pleasing God, walking with God. Now, Enoch's case is unique, no doubt about that. His case is unique. But still, those who believe unto righteousness, we are to walk by faith and thus please God. Listen to two verses from the New Testament about walking and pleasing God. In Colossians 2 and verse 6, we read, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him." How did we receive Christ? By faith. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. How did we receive Christ? We received him by faith. Paul says, so walk as you received him. We walk by faith. And also in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1, he wrote, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus." Now listen, "that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." And I have three things, have three things to remind us about walking with God by faith so as to please him. The first thing about this walking with God by faith and pleasing him is we walk by faith expecting to be with him in glory. And I say this because of this verse and the context of this verse. Remember, Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 said, "We walk by faith and not by sight." What's the context in which he gives that verse? Well, the context is that we have, if this tent is taken down, we have a building of God eternal in the heavens. And so to walk by faith so as to please God, we live in this life expecting that when we leave this world, we're going to be with the Lord. To depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And second, look with me in 1 John chapter 1. We walk by faith when we walk in the light. Remember the song we sing sometimes, "Trust and Obey"? Forget how that goes, but it speaks to us of walking in the light of his word. We walk in the light. 1 John 1 and verses 5 through 7 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. I believe that's the way the hymn reads. Yes. Walk by faith, we walk in the light. We walk in the light, in the ongoing faith, in the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, we fall. Yes, we fall into sin. We make mistakes. But we walk in the light of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, looking unto Him, that His blood cleanseth us. That's ongoing, isn't it? Cleanseth us from all sin. And third, to walk by faith so as to please God is walking in the Spirit, or by the Spirit. Keeping in step, someone said, keeping in step with the Spirit. Look over in Galatians, and I'll close with this. Galatians 5. So we are made righteous by faith, and we walk by faith so as to please God. When we take our eye, when we lose sight of the cross, when we lose sight of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, His sacrifice, then we're sure to stumble. But when we live in the light of God's gracious provision that He has given us in Christ, then we, like Enoch, will walk with God. Galatians 5 and verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Look down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, I pray the Lord will bless this word to all of us here tonight, that we may learn about faith from Abel and also from Enoch. Now, let's sing a verse of a hymn and we'll be dismissed.
All right, well, let's all stand and turn to number 261, and we'll sing that song, Trust and Obey. What a wonderful song that is. Trust and Obey.